We're off to Democrat of the Day to start us off this week. We head up to 38B. Amy Wasilewicz is joining us right now. She is the DFL candidate for 38B. She ran back in 2016. She's running again, and she basically, with that 20-point swing that's happened since Trump took office, there's a decent chance the DFL can pick up 38B, and it's a really good opportunity for us. Amy's kind enough to join us right now and talk about her campaign. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing well. I did get to see Hamilton last week, so sorry you missed out on that. It was a pretty great show.
I wanted to go see that, and I understand. You want to know the truth is, I have no problem with what they did with the tickets, because it bugs me when you have a big concert coming into town, and the tickets within 5 minutes are all gone because the ticket brokers have all bought them. So I get why they did it. It just is, I've got five people in my family, three kids and my wife and myself, and so I was the odd man out, so... I hear it was magical. Okay.
I highly suggest buying the CD from the Broadway cast and listening to that from now until Election Day, because I think it's going to be a big piece of, what's getting me through until Election Day.
Well, and for a lot of people, a little bit later on the show, I'll talk about what happened this weekend. But 38B, for people that might not know, you are a good chunk of White Bear Lake as you head north on, you're north of 694, north of Gem Lake, but it's kind of the western side of White Bear Lake, on the north side as well. Delwood's in there, North Oaks is in there. It's kind of up on the northeast side of town here.
Yeah, it includes, as you said, Delwood and North Oaks and part of White Bear, and the White Bear Township, which is where I live, and then part of Hugo as well.
I actually have spent a lot of time in the last few years in your district. My father-in-law, when he passed away a few years ago of cancer, he passed away. He's actually buried up there in the local cemetery. So I've been up in your district quite a bit of time. Now, as a sad story as that is, your district is delightful. It is wonderful to go into a district like that, and it's just got such great character. Great people. That is a fun district to go to.
It is, yeah. And that's one of the things that I think makes 38B unique, is that we have, in White Bear Lake, we have a nice little downtown area with lots of independent businesses and just really supportive people. We've had, instances in the past where we've had former leaders or current leaders who have had health issues, and folks have really rallied around, community members have rallied around to really support folks. And that's something that we see in our community, is really that when people are down on their luck, or when they have health issues come up, that the community really rallies around people and really supports people in helping them get what they need.
You ran before. We'll talk about that, but let's give everyone a little bit of a background on you. Who is exactly Amy Wasilewicz?
Yeah, so I am a longtime resident of the community where I'm living right now. I grew up in White Bear Lake and White Bear Township, and I went to White Bear Lake area schools. And I work for the school district now in their extended day child care program. And I've been working in public schools on and off for the past 14 years in a variety of roles, mostly in a volunteer capacity as a tutor and as a volunteer tutoring coordinator. So I've been in schools for a long time, and that's part of what kind of backs me up in terms of why I wanted to run for office. But I also have a background in public policy. I got my BA at the University of Minnesota, and then went back a couple of years after that to get my master's in public policy. I was really wanting to focus on knowing more about public policy, but also focusing on social policy and kind of our programs that help support people, and seeing how all of that kind of plays together.
You definitely bring in the resume, that's for sure. I mean, let's start with education. I imagine for you, I've talked to quite a few people who've come in from the education field. This election is clearly an effort to try to save our education system because of how it's been undermined on a federal level and on a state level by the Republicans. Talk about your experiences and what you feel about education and what you'd like to bring to St. Paul.
Sure. I think so. I've served, as I said, as a volunteer. I work in a child care program now in the White Bear Lake area schools. And I think my experiences, I've worked in several different schools. So I worked in St. Paul schools for a couple of years, and now I work out here in White Bear. And I've seen kind of the whole gamut of, what happens when we have enough resources and services to support students, especially the high-risk students, and kind of what happens when we don't. And I think that when I was going to school in White Bear, it's much different now in the school district than it was when I was in school, because when I was in school, we didn't have as much support in terms of finances and community support for the levy as we do now. And so I've even seen the difference between when I was in school and now. Within White Bear, we have kindergarten language classes, which we didn't start until I was in sixth grade when I was in school. We have career pathways programs, which we did not have when I was in high school. So I think that I've seen kind of the difference between what happens when we have, our schools are well supported and when they're not. And I think that that's a big piece of why I'm a big proponent of making sure that we're fully funding our public schools. We have a district in our community. Forest Lake is in part of our community in the district in 38B, and they have had to close buildings and cut staff because they have not been able to pass a levy for several years. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's one of my priorities, is making sure that we're really investing in our public schools.
Well, and the education funding issue is one that we've talked about quite a bit. We clearly need to fix it, and whether that's, regardless of whether that's inner city schools or rural schools, we have a problem here, and the state needs to. We can't just depend on referendums on ballots constantly to fix the situation. We need a leadership in St. Paul that's going to fix this correctly. Talk about your district as well from your social policy experience. I find it interesting because your district is very dynamic. It's got some very wealthy people, and it's got some very wealthy neighborhoods. It also has got working class neighborhoods. I've been up in those working class neighborhoods myself, and so it is dynamic. Talk about the uniqueness of 38B as far as social policy.
I think one thing that I think of when I think of, the district is that the folks who are not being included and the folks who are being left out. And I, in my time with the school district, we have a program in White Bear that provides food for students to take home on the weekends so that they are able to make sure that they're eating, that they have meals on the weekends for students who maybe are homeless or for students who don't have the resources, families who don't have the resources to support that over the weekend. So I've seen those students. I know those students. They're in our school district. They're in our community. I know that we have a significant number of homeless families who are attending our public schools as well. So I think for me, really what I hope to do in the district is to really represent those folks who have kind of been left behind. The folks that we, it makes it, it's easy to not see it when we have, the dynamic, as you're saying, the community here that has lots of wealthy folks, middle-class folks, working-class folks. It's kind of easy to not see it. But I think, I know that our food shelf has seen, in the past several years, has seen an uptick in how many folks are being served there. So I think for me, it's really about kind of this hidden piece of our community that we don't always see or acknowledge, that we really need to make sure that we're talking to folks, we're talking to those folks, and that we're really serving their needs as well in the legislature. I think it's easy when, people have money or a loud voice. Those are the ones that we kind of tend to hear from. But it's not always the folks who really need the things that our government provides that we're hearing from.
Amy Wozlowick is joining us. 38B is the district. She's our Democrat of the day. Your district, I would be remiss if I didn't mention transportation issues. You are a growing part of the metro area. As a matter of fact, very easy to understand why. It's a very nice area. You are south of the 35EW split up in the North Metro, so you kind of are close to the metro. You're a real great area, too. I mean, like I said, before I started going out there, I didn't realize how much it developed and how great that was. It's a really cool area. The transportation, I mean, you got 61, you got 35, they unweaved the weave down in the, which is south of your district, but still, I imagine the transportation and making sure the transportation stays up to date with the growing population is a priority as well for you.
Yeah, and I would say, one thing that I've heard from a lot of residents is we do have, we're going to be part of the Rush Line project, so that is a project that's going to be coming into downtown White Bear Lake. Eventually, and they're in conversations right now about where they're going to put kind of the main station for that project, because they had talked about doing it in a certain area in downtown White Bear Lake, and that is something that folks aren't really happy about. So they're looking at some additional options there. I think beyond that, we're seeing a need as our community and our state, frankly, ages, that we're going to have a bigger need for different transportation options for seniors as well. And that's certainly something that I've heard from seniors in our community is, we have Metro Mobility for folks with disabilities. We have some other services, new tracks in our community that helps folks who need transportation. But I think that that's something that we're really going to have to invest more in, is making sure that not only do we have just transportation in general, but that we have transportation for people in our community, like seniors and people with disabilities who maybe need more specialized transportation that runs more frequently during the day, and that they have access to that transportation.
As you've been door knocking, once again, you ran against Matt Dean before. Am I correct on that? I'm correct on that, right? And you were, but I mean, then that was the Trump year, and I mean, he did very well. But once again, we have seen a very definitive 15-point swing. I don't think the actions of the last few weeks are going to help the Republicans even on the local levels. And so this seat is definitively within play. Talk about your experiences door knocking and talking to the community and how it's differed from 2016 to this time around.
Sure. Well, certainly, we started door knocking in April, and we've been having conversations. The topics have kind of changed. Certainly, healthcare is still a really big issue. It was a big concern back in 2016. It's still a big concern now. But I think we've seen some other issues pop up that maybe weren't as big on people's minds last time. One of the biggest ones in the middle of the summer was people talking about political division, which I think we're seeing everywhere. I was just reading a New York Times piece about it, actually. And so I think we're seeing that as an issue and people talking about how the legislature doesn't work very well when people are playing political games. And how do we make sure that we're not waiting until the very end of session with all these big bills and cramming everything in there in hopes that something gets passed? And then when it gets vetoed, even knowing that you know, Governor Dayton had said, like, I don't like these things, we're not going to pass this bill. I think that people... You know, we have to work together and figure out a way to. We can't be doing that. I don't think it's not good for legislators because they don't always know what's in there. But it's not good for the people of Minnesota to have these huge bills that nobody really knows what's in there, and there's no time to look at it. There's no time for people to know what's in there, to know what's being voted on. And I really think that we need to stick with what we're doing, which is making sure that we're doing single subject bills and that we're really focusing on keeping policy and budget stuff separate so that we can pass policies, we can pass distracted driving legislation, we can pass a penny a pill bill for opioid addiction purposes. Those are things that we should have done that are widely supported by folks in Minnesota that should have been done, and they weren't. Some of these things weren't done because they were kind of thrown into this giant bill. So that's been a huge concern that I've heard from folks this time around that I didn't hear about in 2016.
Well, and the other element of that, and we've talked a lot about that, there are a lot of people that just that one thing alone, this last legislative session, the Omnibus Prime Bill, they basically, that was enough for them. They had it and they're running because that you can't have over half that bill were items which the majority agreed on. I mean, and like you said, like the hand-free cell phone, stuff like that. I mean, there was no-brainer layups that Dayton would have signed that they would have been there, but because the Republican leadership wanted to use those as bargaining chips to try to get incredibly partisan, unpopular bills passed as well, you end up having this amalgamation and nothing got done. It clearly is a spotlight on the failures of the Republican leadership in the House.
Yeah, and I think that this session, it certainly was, but I also will say that Democrats have done this too. It's not a one-party thing with putting a bunch of stuff in a bill and hoping that it passes. And I really hope that's an issue that we can come together, no matter our party, no matter kind of where we fall on the political spectrum, and say, you know, we're here representing the people of Minnesota. We're not representing our own, you know, our own little things that we want to do. So if we're here representing Minnesotans and they're telling us that we should not be doing it that way, then we need to change it. And we need to do it in a way that works better for folks and that's more transparent and that we actually know kind of what's going on and what's in these bills.
And I understand we don't like the partisan stuff, but the reality is I never saw the Democrats try anything like Omnibus Prime. That was disgusting beyond disgusting.
Certainly not anything that big.
Yeah, nothing. I mean, you're right. I mean, the games of politics get played, but that was inexcusable. I'm presuming you do need donations and volunteers to help out in 38B, correct?
Oh, yes, always.
All right. I want people to go to Amy's website. It's Amy Wazlawick now. It's Wazlawick, correct?
Yep, that's right.
And Amy is AMI. So it's AMIWAZLAWIK.com. That's her website. Help your local Democrat. By all means, help your local Democrat. But once you help your local Democrat, help a Democrat running in a red district. This is how we flip the House in Minnesota, and we desperately need to flip the House in Minnesota. So if you can, go on out there. Go to Amy's website, volunteer, donate, and got a month left here for door knocking. So we need it. This is crunch time. This blue wave is not going to happen on its own. What are you doing to make that blue wave happen? That's what I've been saying. I'm going to continue to say that. Go help Amy and 1338B. That's one way to help things out. Amy, I appreciate the time. All my best in your race.
Yes, thank you so much.
Amy Wasluwick, once again, 38B. We'll take a break. Come on back. Democrat of the day there.